This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. So welcome to live radio. The president is going to be giving a press conference about who cares. It doesn't matter what it's about. It could be about tariffs. It could be about Venezuelans. It doesn't matter. All anyone cares about is what's going on right now with Signalgate, and that when he takes questions, they're going to ask him about it, and he's going to say something spicy. So if we can carry that, we will. If we can't, we won't. We'll do something else, and we'll tell you what he said afterwards. Interestingly, they're now reporting that a United States defense official, someone who works for Pete Hegseth, has said that he 100% disclosed classified information in that unprotected text stream. So,
and it is an unnamed source as of right
okay.
now.
Okay. There you go. Wheels, you wanted to do Stairway?
Sure, we could. It'll be along these lines. I can't let go of this drone story.
Yeah, you're into
that. I cannot let go of this drone story because, again, so remember last time we updated it was a senator on the Armed Services Committee saying that the Pentagon still doesn't know what the hell's going on here. So as a senator, and this is, again, after the BS story about, oh, no, it's just the FAA. We know what it is. It's fine. No, they don't. The Pentagon does not know what it is. And there was a story yesterday on The Hill, which, again, is a really tied-in political publication. Like, these are not just, it's not a blogger, it's not a website, it's not somebody that you would say isn't significantly tied in to the real movers and shakers, right? The Hill is tied in. So they've cited three more Pentagon sources, including two generals, who are saying, we don't know anything about this. They've been hanging around military installations, and nothing that we do to try to disrupt them works. So they tried jamming them, right? So if these were hobbyists, and they're flying over military bases or outside of military, we have technology that would allow us to jam them, and they would essentially fall from the sky because they would lose their remote control access, or they would not be able to, or they just wouldn't be able to leave. Right? You would lose that remote access. Nothing works against these drones that we're dealing with, right? And I saw that in that story in The Hill, one of the people that has been following this made a really interesting point. The drones are not trying to stay hidden; they're flying around with lights on. So they clearly don't care that people can see them. Otherwise, why would you have lights on them? If you're trying to be secret, whoever they is, whether it's amateurs, whether it's China, whether it's aliens, whatever, if anyone behind it was trying to stay secret, they certainly wouldn't put flashing lights on the damn things.
Yeah.
Where everybody could see that. And they've had these drones. There was a sighting by a carrier out in the ocean where this thing was floating around, and then it just submerged into the ocean. Well, a regular fly-y drone can't do that. And I can't believe this isn't like the number one story on the news all the time. We have objects that are flying around military bases and military sites, and the military can't do anything about it. They can't stop it. They don't know what it is. They don't know who it is. How is this not like story 1A all the time? Because if we are the biggest badasses on the planet when it comes to our military, how's this still now, unless they're all just BSing us and it is something to do that's tied into the military and they're just doing things and they don't want us to know, well, that's what you're going to do, right? You're going to put out some kind of confusion. So we have to acknowledge that there could be something along those lines where they know what it is, but they have no intention of ever telling us what those things are doing. And that's why they're just saying, we don't know. But either way, I would find this to be a bigger story than most anything we talk about on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
That not that they're flying around residential areas or just flying around New Jersey or whatever, but that these are military people reporting them over military sites, nuclear sites, and we can't do anything with them. We can't catch them because when we try to chase them, they're too fast. And when we try to jam them and shut them down, doesn't work. What the hell?
What's your gut?
If you said pick all the possibilities, what's most likely? I would bet on something that is a government program that most of the government doesn't know about, right? Things that are, you know, whatever. I don't know about all the various classifications, but, you know, above top secret, whatever it is. That certain, you know, how they compartmentalize knowledge of most things, which makes sense. You know, they compartmentalize knowledge for the Manhattan Project. This is not necessarily I'm not saying it's a nefarious conspiracy. I'm just saying that that seems to be the most logical explanation for what we know, because we don't think that any other country has technology that would be foreign to us, right? That we wouldn't be able to at least understand.
Yeah.
And I would say that the betting on, you know, aliens probably is not the best bet in the world, since we don't really have a lot of evidence that that's a thing. We have sightings of things, but we don't know that particular part of it.
Yeah.
So
I'm with you.
That would be the bet. But either way, how is this not like the story that every news agency in the country
is
chasing?
I think the answer to your question is because they, the government, have at minimum noticed and learned our lack of attention span and probably created it. I mean, I don't doubt for a second that the government in some sort of psyops kind of way has been involved in
the UFO stuff, yeah.
I mean, just like it goes all the way back to Project Blue Book, you know, that we know because we have those documents where it was, hey, we don't know what's going on, but we need to discredit all these people who are seeing these things. And we need to distract them. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if the government just looks at the United States citizenry circa 2025 and goes, maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We have to deal with this for 2 weeks, and they'll forget about it and they'll go on to something else. And we do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm finding it crazy that every so often we're getting stories from people that are in big positions. Again, maybe they're all BSing us too. I mean, I'm always open to that as an explanation, because when you don't know, you don't know. So you have to take any rational possibility as a possibility.
I have some science stuff that kind of dovetails in.
Let's go.
So you think about like our place in the universe, literally, that we are in a place. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I mean, we're in a definable place, however they would do that, in the universe. But we are moving so fast. And here on Earth, I might get this wrong, so forgive me, physicists, but they said that if you took your place, put a pin in it, came back 24 hours later, you would be about 75 million miles down the road in 24 hours. And that the Milky Way is moving at 2.1 million kilometers per hour. Just let that settle in.
All right, so that means there's a lot of space.
2 million kilometers an hour is how fast we are moving within the Milky Way. And, Rach, I don't know if you knew this. I've known this for a while, and it's always screwed me up, that you understand gravity, right? That our Milky Way and thousands of other galaxies are all moving toward this thing in the universe called the Great Attractor. There's so much mass to it that it's causing entire galaxies to just rush toward it, and we have no idea what it is.
Wow.
Like, we haven't ruled out super, 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 super massive black hole or a collection of a million black holes, but they don't think that's what it is.
Yeah, it was interesting because you just said we understand gravity, but isn't it like we really don't?
We
like,
really we, don't. We don't know where it comes from.
We know what it does, but we don't know the source of it.
One of the working theories is that it leaks from another multiverse.
Whoa.
That it's fairly weak here, and that it could be something in another multiverse that's very strong, and we're just getting droplets of it. Who knows?
What in the heck?
I know.
I was like, wow.
What the hey?
Pretty crazy.
I love hate all of that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I'm super interested in it. It's fascinating, but I hate it because you're like, but none of that makes sense.
Yeah, I can't comprehend this.
I also I read this story. I don't know how true it is because there's a few layers to it. But I don't know if you remember that the Artemis mission, we are going to put the first woman on the moon and the first person of color on the moon.
Yes.
But given all of this administration's DEI stuff, that they've abandoned that.
Yeah, I saw that today as well.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff like that, it's like, then why did you make the pledge in the first place if you were just immediately going to back down? Clearly, NASA, it's not that important to you. So why did you ever say it was important in the first place?
And to me, it's almost a tacit admission by NASA that, oh, well, our best astronauts aren't female or people of color. That's the only reason we're going to do it. And I don't think that's true. I'm sure that of the astronauts in training, you can include women and people of color and have great astronauts. You follow me?
No, but it's kind like of sending that message, right?
Exactly.
Like, the message that...
The fact that they're backing off.
Right. The message you could receive was, it's almost like, all right, well, now we're only going to send the best. We weren't going to send the best before.
Right.
And that's... Again, you shouldn't have been sending anybody that's not the best.
Yes.
Period. The end. But that's... It may not be what it is, but that definitely is part of the look.
Yeah. It's like... Oh, I'm going to come out and just let you guys know I'm an ally here. Like, I want to help out these groups who have not traditionally gone to space, been on the moon, et cetera, 4 years later. Oh, actually, you know what? Never mind. We're not an ally. Like, okay, so then why did you do it in the first place?
Kind of like Anheuser-Busch with Pride Fest. What do you make of that?
Oh, they backed out their sponsorship?
Yeah, they were the presenting sponsor for 25 years, 30 years, something like that. And they backed out of all of it. They're not going to spend a dime.
Did they give a reason why?
Not really. I heard the head of the Pride Fest on Chris Namey yesterday, and he was saying that it was an ongoing negotiation, and a couple of weeks ago they just walked away from the negotiating table. Mm. I mean, it has to be Dylan Mulvaney, right? They have to still
have some fear in that,
smarting from that.
I guess, but wasn't that a thing last year? And they would have still been the sponsor last year. I mean, it was way more of a hot topic a year ago.
Yeah, they would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to look more into that. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And she could hear the highway breathing. And she could see an Welcome back, guys. DGS on 104.1 FM KMOX. So momentarily, the president will be doing a news conference, I think, about tariffs, but no one gives a rat's ass about it. All they want to talk about is the defense leak, and so we'll let you know what he says about that. I'm sure it'll be something. It'll be newsworthy. It always is. You got to hand it to the guy. Right now, we're going to talk to our good friend, Colonel Jeff McCausland. Colonel, great to talk to you again, my friend.
Dave, it's good to be with you.
So I'm just going to throw you the softball, buddy. You just, when you heard about this, what did you think, and how have your thoughts evolved?
I was shocked beyond words. I've only been doing this national security stuff, Dave, for about 50-plus years, 34 years, wearing a uniform, working in the Pentagon, working in the White House. And all that time, I have found no greater egregious error on the part of very senior national security officials. In fact, you could say the national security team than this one. You know, what's extraordinary about this is there's unquestionable evidence, but that what they did, frankly, put sailors and airmen in greater harm's way and risk in a combat zone. And I can think of no greater error and break of trust for a senior national security team than that. And it's unbelievable that someone now is not being held accountable. Furthermore, which is even more extraordinary, is the administration keeps insisting that there was no classified information on that particular app when they were transmitting it back and forth. I think any person with a reasonable education could read that and say the details provided here prior to the attack going in could potentially provide our adversaries information that could hide targets, move targets around, cause leaders to escape if they were targeted, stiffen their air defenses. And but for the grace of God, we didn't lose any airmen in the process. You know, when it was finally extraordinary, is the hero in this story really should be Jeffrey Goldberg, of all people. The media guy who was on this call accidentally was the only person to have the presence of mind to say this kind of information should not be done on less than an absolutely classified app. And the entire national security team, including the vice president, secretary of defense, national security advisor, secretary of state, director of national intelligence, and CIA director, did not come to that conclusion.
Amazing. So, Colonel, I'm so glad you're on because I've been frustrated by this. I am not a military guy. I've never served a day in the military, so I don't understand what is classified and what is not. But I'm also not a complete buffoon. And what I saw certainly looked like it should have been classified, because I agree with you, if Jeff Goldberg were a bad actor and he got this information and he forwarded it to the bad guys, we would have been in a world of hurt.
That's exactly right. I mean, look at it this way. The United States Navy has been in a period of more sustained combat operations in the Red Sea area over the last year than at any time since World War II. That's the sustained level of combat they've involved in. The Houthis have attacked our ships over 175 times, shot down at least one drone, and engaged our aircraft while they were flying in the area or conducting combat missions. That looks like a combat zone to me, number one. And as I say, if the information had gotten out in advance, they could have been much better prepared or dispersed the target. Now, the administration is saying, of course, well, the mission was a great success and we didn't lose any aircraft. And that's very true. We didn't lose any aircraft, thank God. They all got back safely, thank God. In terms of the mission being a success, well, that's probably true. But we don't know, because we won't know if, in fact, the Houthis got some kind of an inkling and could have, in fact, dispersed their targets. That's unlikely. But let's ask one other question, which I don't think is asked often enough. If you guys were using this signal app to discuss this particular mission against the Houthis, was this a routine matter of communicating? And there are other chat rooms where you were talking about, oh, I don't know, the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, the North Koreans, our negotiations with the Ukrainians, et cetera, which might have been a source of unbelievable intelligence gathering for our adversaries and further damaged our national security policy. If I was a combat commander, and I commanded in combat, if I had been commanding this operation, and I had learned that, in fact, this information had been put out on an unclassified app 2 hours or more prior to the attack going in, I very likely would have scrubbed the entire mission.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to our good friend, Colonel Jeff McCausland. Wheels, did you have something?
Well, no, I found that to be a fascinating point to be made there, that if this one group conversation is happening about this one topic, how many others could be
right
out there?
Probably wasn't their first.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would we think for a minute that this was a one-off event for the Houthis alone by this group? That doesn't make sense either, does it?
No.
And you know, Colonel, I'm not a military guy. I'm not the best guy in the world, but I would like to think that I can own up to mistakes. I think that's how you grow. That's how you evolve. You learn your lessons. And what really offends me as a citizen, Caroline Leavitt earlier, the presidential spokesperson, was saying that there's nothing but insincere outrage. Well, Dave Glover has sincere outrage. And what I'm outraged at isn't the mistake. I'm disappointed in the mistake. I'm outraged at the gaslighting of America.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, and this is one of the sad commentaries about Washington, D.C. and administration, frankly, of both parties, is it's not the event which gets you in trouble. It's the cover-up of the event that gets you in trouble. And if the administration, when immediately this was revealed, had stood up, the National Security Advisor, for example, and said, we have discovered this, and we discovered what happened. Goldberg was on this. Obviously, a terrible error. We're going to do a full investigation and learn from this lesson to make sure that, you know, maximum sensitivity is handled with this kind of material to safeguard our soldiers, sailors, and airmen in harm's way. You know, I sincerely apologize. Thank you very much. This would have been about a 24-hour story.
Agreed.
But doing it like this isn't not only outrageous, it's an insult to my intelligence and the intelligence of the American people, for goodness sake, to try to make us believe. And to cover it up by saying, well, it was not a war plan. Now, in a very nuanced fashion, that is correct. What is a war plan? A war plan is planning for the possibility contingency operations of a war. You may remember about a week ago, there was a fervor because Elon Musk may have been briefed on our war plan if, in fact, we had to go to war with Japan. We weren't going to war with Japan. It's just how we think about that.
Yeah.
This is what we call in military parlance an op plan, or an operational plan for an actual operation that was going to be conducted. The fact that it was an op plan, to me, is more worrisome than if it had been a war plan, because we're actually doing something. We're putting the airmen in the air over hostile territory.
I am selflessly...
In the last week,
Selfishly so glad we had you on because I feel 100% more sane now. I was feeling crazy.
Well, I don't know why you should. I mean, frankly, let's face it, not to be too harsh, the President of the United States speaks very often about he is successful because he applies common sense. This cover-up by saying, oh, there was no detailed classified information on this call is a violation of common sense. And what really worries me is, A, they may have been doing it more often.
Yeah.
B, I'd really like to know, were any of these people, frankly, using their private telephone for this? Because that's a possibility.
Yes.
And if they were, and they downloaded this app, that's a violation of the law. And furthermore, even the people who support the administration to the fullest degree, and I do wish them very well. I want them to be successful.
Same.
But have to examine this team and say, this is the most inexperienced team assembled by a president in recent memory, if not in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And for them to do this is just amateurish and shows a lack of understanding of high-level classified information operations on the part of the Secretary of Defense, the Director of National Intelligence. And that's not surprising because what was he doing? Well, he was the Saturday host on Fox TV before he did this.
Right.
And she had been a discredited congresswoman.
Colonel, you're the best. Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
See ya.
Welcome back, guys. DG Ass on KMOX Wheels. I planned on asking Colonel Jeff McCausland about the drones, but he was on one today. So.
That's the more important story, I guess, for today.
He was passionate.
Dang, you know, what does he know, though? He's only spent 5 decades. Yeah, and
he's spitballing.
Yeah.
Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. I love listening to that.
Yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
He's great, isn't he?
Yes. I did. I had an old man morning this morning.
Nice. What'd
What's
you that? Do? Yeah. It's just kind of baseline stuff. Did an echocardiogram and a stress test for my heart.
Oh.
So far, don't know about the echo. But stress test passed in flying colors.
Is this is going to sound stupid? Is a stress test difficult?
I guess it can be. I did not find it. In fact, I thought it was going to be. I've had stress tests in the past. You get them about every 5 years or so.
Yeah.
I've had them in the past, and I thought this would be a lot harder to do as I age. But it was like. Doctor said, okay, you're all done. And I went, that's it?
Nice.
That's all you got? That's all you got for me?
Come on. Those always scare me because, and I only know them from like television and movies, but it's when you have a real suspicion that someone's heart is bad, let's make them run on a treadmill. Like that always just kind of like,
Well, you sign papers before you do that. And it basically says, hey, here's what's going to happen. It could lead to a heart attack. It could lead to this. It could lead to that. And it could be fatal. Please sign here. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to do that.
I did one of those a long time ago.
Did you?
I had like a reflux thing going on, but they didn't know for sure. And they were like, we're going to rule things out. And I did it. Like, I don't know. I was in my 30s. And I remember filling out that paperwork. And then like I did the same thing. I'm like, the nurse's like, okay, you're good. I'm like, that's it?
Yeah.
Then again, I was in my 30s, so I better pass that damn thing.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. However, I can see people really struggling with it. Really struggling with it.
Mm.
But that's kind of the purpose of it. And this was wasn't because of anything my cardiologist saw or is concerned about. It was like, I'd like to get a baseline on you.
Yeah, let's just do it.
It's been about 5 or 6 years. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
I don't know where I got this. It was in the last 24 hours, though. But some expert was talking about aging and said that healthy aging is having no major health problems up to 70. After 70, all bets are off. But if you can make it to 70 without major health problems, that's considered a healthy aging.
I've got a book. Let me hold it up.
Yeah. Dave, that's a porn.
He took his headphones off. He didn't hear you.
Book. I've only gotten a little bit through it, but it's
called Outlive.
Uh-huh.
That may have been where you heard it from, Dave.
That could be.
But it's not a.
Is
not
that you did in headlines?
Is that the book from the guy that likes to have use his son's blood to make himself younger? No, I'm kidding. It's a joke. It's not that guy.
No.
I thought it might be.
Really?
Yeah, me too. I haven't gotten to that point yet.
Dave's gonna be calling up, son. You got time for a vacation,
Dave? Unless that's a picture book, it's way too thick for me.
Yeah, I know. Well, unfortunately, there's no pictures. I agree, which is why I've only gotten through about half of it.
Which is saying something when it's a book about how to live longer.
That's right.
You're like, I got enough.
I better finish fast.
Every article I see that's like, here's how to fix this problem you're having, and I open it up, and then I'm like, it's too long.
Oh,
and I
just get out of there. Look, you know how I am about Alzheimer's, right? Because I have the gene. And I saw a story on my phone this morning that said, new drug promises to postpone Alzheimer's by 10 years. I read the first paragraph. I'm like, I need another coffee.
I hope the answer is coffee.
My doctor's reading this. It's okay.
He'll let me know.
So, Dave, now that we're within 24 hours, how are we looking for tomorrow?
Yeah, I still think we're okay. It's not perfect by any means. Kind of a changeable sky, partly to mostly cloudy, breezy. There will be scattered showers around from time to time on Thursday, but we should get the game in. Could there be a delay? Sure. You know, quick delay kind of thing. 72 for the high. That's not bad.
Nice.
Scattered showers, maybe a thunder shower on Thursday night. Friday is summertime. Mostly sunny, windy, and warm near 80 degrees. Warmest part of the day, about 3:30 this time of year. An unsettled weather pattern really kicking in tomorrow, but it's going to last right through the weekend. It's not a washout of a weekend by any means. Saturday, partly sunny. Some scattered showers, maybe a thunderstorm, 75. Sunday, periods of rain, a couple of thunderstorms around. A couple of those could be on the strong, maybe severe side. That's my concern is Sunday, but I'm not jumping off the boat about it right now. 70 for the high on Sunday.
Let me get a ruling. When it is 80 degrees in the spring, but it's been 50 and it's going to be 50 again, do you guys turn your air on or you just get through an 80-degree day?
I just get through it.
I do too.
Yeah.
It helps you guys are working then.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm more likely to turn the air conditioner on in the car because it's like, I don't like to drive down the highway with my window cracked or anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. It just kind of stresses me out. I feel like there's like too much wind going on at that point. So I'm more likely to turn on my AC when it's not that hot outside.
Do you guys put your AC on and have the windows open?
I've done it.
I've been known to do that and start a fire.
In the back of the Jeep.
No, like I'm talking about at home. I just randomly torch a place.
Dave's got a fireplace in the back of the Jeep.
I'm uncomfortable.
Windows down, top off, and the AC blowing.
Now, I remember one time Maureen came home from shopping and she said, I must be crazy because it seems like you have the air on, the windows open, and you started a fire in the fireplace. I'm like, yeah. What's so crazy sure about that? Need to do any extended forecast or are we good?
No, I think we're good.
Okay, good.
Let's just stay with that, yeah.
Brian says, I thought Dave needed his house temp at 58 degrees. I do, but I also have an old system now that is like every year it's on its last leg, so I really...
you're talking about your HVAC system or are you talking about you?
I'm
an old system now.
No, and I'm on my last leg every year. Like you're gonna have to replace this. Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, do a couple of headlines here. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Does anyone remember Napster?
Yeah.
From back in the day.
Story.
It's been sold to a tech company for $207 million.
Suckers.
Infinite Reality has acquired Napster with plans to transform the streaming service into a social music platform. You know, normally I would say, why would you waste your money on something? But as a millennial, Napster was very important in my formative years. I think they could do like a nostalgia play and turn around. If they made it fun, I think a lot of people would hop onto a social music platform like that.
The generations are so interesting because that was at the tail end of mine and I didn't care because I'm not a tech guy. And so when I saw that, I'm just like, start a new company, get a new name.
Yeah.
Malcolm in the Middle is recasting a major role for the revival. Did anyone watch this show whenever it was on?
Yeah, big with the kids.
Mm-hmm. They are recasting the role of Dewey with Caleb Ellsworth Clark taking over from Eric Persullivan. He retired from acting in 2010. The new episodes will see Malcolm as a father dealing with family chaos.
I loved Malcolm in the Middle.
It's so good. And it's one of the last... just like normal family shows that, I don't know, it just feels like every show now is like, I'm a millionaire and here's my $1 million lifestyle. Yeah. Malcolm in the Middle was just like, hey, it is what it is. Like they took pride in like being Hoosiers.
I just watched, they don't show the lower middle class.
No, right. They don't.
They're not the stars anymore.
Right.
I saw one just a couple nights ago, just happened to catch it on, when they go on their yearly vacation and it got cut short, and they came home to a block party that they've been having every year.
Yes, when they're on vacation.
Celebrate them being on vacation.
So good.
Bryan Cranston.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
What an incredible actor. What versatility.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The show is set to receive a 4-episode run on Disney Plus, with shooting starting soon in Vancouver. I like that, too, that it's just going to be like, hey, here's 4 episodes.
I love it.
I'm sure it'll be solid gold.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that the guy retired from it. He's apparently skipped and declined every single, cast reunion they've done, or even just, like, get-together lunches. He's, like, not interested.
Yeah.
Don't want any part of it.
He was a great little child actor.
Mm-hmm.
A new Chili's near Scranton will be a throwback to the Office. Chili's is opening a new restaurant in Scranton, Pennsylvania, playing homage to its appearances on The Office. There is a very iconic early episode of The Office called The Dundies that takes place at a Chili's and kind of put Chili's back on the map. Mm. Michael Scott also goes to Chili's at one point with some other management people and sings the Baby Back Ribs song. So it's a huge deal if you're a fan of The Office. The chain has enlisted actors from The Office for ads and is offering a $5 Scranton margarita nationwide on April 7th. This is just cool. I like to see Chili's doing cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm crappy.
Okay.
I'm glad that I'm not more successful than I am, because I would hate myself. Like, once something gets super successful and everyone starts obsessing over it and podcasts about it, I'm like, I'm out. So, yeah, I don't think I could watch an episode of The Office. Hmm. I'm out on Seinfeld. I'm out on Larry David. I'm out on The Office.
It's too popular.
Cornflakes.
One more story here, and then we'll take a break. Steph Curry and Michelle Obama are teaming up to create a sports drink. It's called Plezi Hydration, and it's supposed to be a healthier sports drink option. The drink has no added sugar or artificial sweeteners, and it aims to promote health and wellness.
You can order it on Amazon. She's busy.
She's a busy lady.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of irons in the fire, that Michelle Obama.
She does. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All my time.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Melinda says, Dave, did you know that Dr. Mel on The Pit is Bryan Cranston's daughter? Melinda, I did know that, but it took me about a week to believe it. Like, I just thought, oh, that's a little too convenient. That's a little too cutesy. But yeah, one of my favorite actors on The Pit is Bryan Cranston's daughter.
Oh.
Cool.
Yeah. And once you know that, you're like, oh, okay, I can kind of see this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never seen it yet.
When are you guys going to start watching so I can talk to you about it?
Well, now that I know that there's a Nepo baby. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. Good question.
You know what I've started leaning into is I already go to bed early. And so let's say I go to bed at 9. That's pretty average. 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. 5. So 5 a.m., I'm at 8 hours, right? It's pretty good.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm.
So I've been waking up at between 4:30 and 5, and I've just been getting up, but not in a non-crappy way. Like, oh, we're going to be so tired today. I just get up, take a little walk right as the sun's coming up, have my coffee. It's been really nice.
That's very nice.
You feel
nice.
Like you're getting a jump on everybody.
I like getting up early.
Yeah.
I don't get up that early. I get up more 6:45, 7.
Ooh, that's sleeping in on the weekends.
But it's nice to just be able to, you know, have your coffee at a leisurely pace and watch the news and just, you know.
Mm.
It's not like I'm out hustling or anything, but I just feel like I'm getting a little jump on the day.
Mm.
Absolutely.
And my play is get up as late as I can to have enough time to get ready to leave the house.
And your bedtime is?
2.
Wow.
Something like that. But, like, even in the morning, I don't ever leave, like, what you're talking about, Rach. I don't have the buffer time.
Uh-huh.
Like, let's say I had to be at a baseball game at, like, 11 and it's 15 minutes away. I'm going to get up probably 15 minutes before I have to leave so that I can brush my teeth, do whatever, run the dogs out, and then throw on a hat and my uniform and go. And I'll eat in the car on the way. I'm not saving any time for anything.
How long are you non-communicado in the morning?
Oh, it's usually at least 10, 15 minutes where I just can't. Focus. It's getting better though.
Good.
Yeah. But I mean, no, I'm a bad waker upper. It just takes me a long time.
Yeah.
And then once I'm awake, then I'm like this all day.
Yeah. Yeah, we know.
Yes, we have noticed that.
And then at night, it's all of a sudden just shuts off and I fall asleep.
Tomorrow's going to be a weird day for me. I am so excited for opening day. really excited to broadcast with my friend Kevin Wheeler from noon to 1:30 from the Ballpark Village. But it's the day my mom fell.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's right. Because we were at
Kegs and Eggs last year.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
I know.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. This really hit me. Like, I knew that, but there are just times when you're grieving that something will hit or you'll see a commercial and you're like, oh, that's right.
And that really just set in motion of
it did.
Really rough
yeah.
couple era for you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The roughest. Yes.